Heb Shmuley helpen.
Hachuna van Pesach is zo de ganze haluches van kashen, also de haluches van kashen kelim, is isserdike kelim, is een huches Pesach. Simen Tuchni in Alef, where it says all the haluches of kashen, where we learn out the haluches of kashen for everything, besubuch, subuchula, nevelas, treifas, in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber put it into the Torah, and put the haluches of Hagula into Huches Pesach. That was the most negedic thing, which was in Klal Yisrael, was Kashrin. Shkwein Rav Chesuzevi today, and every person used to have Kalim, and used to come Pesach. Most of the Kalim they used to cash it for Pesach. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we have disposable dishes all year round. As Kosh came, when it comes to Pesach, we generally have the luxury of having separate kelim for most of our inyunim. But still, that's when the Chabad put into Siman Tuf Nin Aleph and Hilchos Pesach. Before we go into Mamish into Kashering, there is two chalukim of preparing for Pesach. One chalik is of being careful that on Pesach you shouldn't end up having any chumetz be'en. No mamushes of chumetz should, chas hashum, somebody should come and eat a mamushas of chumetz and Pesach. It's one Indian. Nothing to do with the bliyas, nothing to do with kashering. And that's why we scrub our houses, and that's why we're so careful everything we do, to take away the chumetz be'en. And there's another sigya that if you want to use kalim, we want to use surfaces, we want to use different pots and pans, whatever it is, of something which we used for chumetz, we kasher it in order to say, to save ourselves any problems of bliyas of chumetz. There's two separate inyunim. The first inyun is very negeh nowadays also. There are certain things which people use constantly with all the chumetz thicker things. And when it comes to Pesach, we have to be careful where we put them down and how we put them down. The vista mushal is that people are makpid the whole year not use the surim and the chumetz thicker table because they might end up learning on Pesach. It might be good to the other way around. Might better use the learn the whole year the surim and not use them on Pesach. But that's what people know about it. Why? What they're scared of? They're scared it's going to be a pir chumetz, a crumb which by mistake they ate their cake during when they had their food. And the shat they were learning, and they put that sefer down on the picket table. It might come out to be a mashi chumetz be'en. There are things which are a lot more negayah than sfurim. Practical things: a telephone, a mobile. We speak on our phones. We have cordless phones. There's other phones lying around the house, which is a dovah shechiach for shteitzach. It sits onto the kitchen, on the counter with all the food and everything else involved. For shteitzach, it zicha gets chumetz dik. And then we pace, even before Pesach, and we're busy. We'd be very surprised. I wouldn't, if you'd open up the phone, you'd be surprised what's inside. A mixer with a pot can take on, you can't a mixer, some uses for flour, you can't use on Pesach, because you can't get everything out. The flour definitely goes in. So if the phone's been around there, the gegend, which has using it for flour, it's definitely got chumetz be'en inside it. And you've got to be very careful where you put it down. It's not clever to put it down. Oh, so either you have a Pesach phone. Somebody told me that he knows a Yid. He bought house phone and mobile phones, the chumetz Pesach, but he's zicha yuchid. The practical answer is to cover with the cling film. And don't forget to put a couple of holes in through by the earpiece and by the mouthpiece, otherwise you'll save yourself a lot of talking on Pesach.
A lot of those phones need cashing anyway.
The cashing for other yisirim. Okay, that's another noise.
It's
not
using that, I put it down the whole time on the surface. Not really,
it could be, I'm not saying a cloud. I'm just saying it's something you've got to be careful for. Got to be careful, that's all. Just bring out a point. Everyone will decide for themselves, yes or no. But bring out a point, we've got to be careful and think about chumetz be'en. Another thing is the candlesticks. People put the candles straight on the Shabbos table, they put a tray on the tray, goes on the Shabbos table. What do they do, Pesach? Most Yiddish houses, it goes also the lechko on the Shabbos table. I don't know yet anybody has still the candlesticks just for Pesach. Oh, so either you cash the tray, if you can cash it, hand your trays it off, or you can put. We're always choishish, there's crumbs lying around and things get spilt on the table. Makpid on Pesach, easiest way, a little bit of cling film underneath each one of the bottom of the candlesticks. It's a kleiner kite, but it can do such a difference. Or whether you put in chumetz thicker things, which are on your chumetz thicker table the whole year, put them onto your Pesach table. The sefer, which you'd never use, you won't put onto the table. The candlesticks, which are there every week, that man trachten to teen apples. If chashum a mashi chumetz on Pesach, there's no issa bali ruah bali mutzah on a mashi. But if somebody would eat a mashi on chumetz on Pesach, it's over. There's no bitl of chumetz on Pesach itself. before Pesach and after Pesach as bitl of chumetz. To eat a mashi chumetz on Pesach is a issa deraisa. That's what the whole chayim of chumetz is more than anything else. Even if it went into food before Pesach, there's a lot of dinim when we say it's choy zimaniyah and it comes back in and it's not butl anymore, even though it was butl. Vases, we said all these types of things. The same the shelves in the fridge, yeah? And people don't go and kasher the shelves in the fridge, but to cover them with something practical, the handles of the fridge, that's where everyone goes. They open the fridge all day from the kitchen, in the middle of cooking, in the middle of baking. Make sure the handles are clean. Scrub clean, that's what's important to scrub. The walls and the doors, but these types of things, if you're going to touch the whole of Pesach, that's what Azatik in the Kiddur. Now it comes to kashering, maybe just say 2-3 klulim, what it says in Shulchan Aruch of Hilchos Agula, and then try and bring out a little bit practical for a couple of things. But you should understand what's happening when we do Agula, understand what needs to be done to be able to take it to each case as it comes. The klal is that anything bliya which went into, any isadik bliya which went into a keli, has to come out. So the way it went in is the way it can come out again. The haini, if it went in through cooking means through a liquid form, it can come out through a liquid form. If it went in through without liquid, that means it went in through direct, through heat, without any water or any liquid in the process. For example, in an oven or for something which is fried, dry fried without oil, it can only come out through fire. What does that mean practically? It means if you take a pot and somebody cooked inside the pot a knaidlich, and so his knaidlich went in, the chumetz of the knaidlich went into the pot through the water. In order to be able to use such a pot, you'd have to dip this whole pot into boiling hot water in order to get the chumetz out. For the chumetz, in order to go in, for the bliya to go in, it's enough, it should be Yad Seledesboy. Yad Seledesboy is 39, 45 degrees, but approximately. For chumetz, for bliyas to come out of a pot, it's not enough. Even though we say kaboyle kach boilte, that's only in the method of how it went in, it has to come out. But the heat has to be more to be able to pull the bliyas out than it went in. So if chumetz, if the bliya went in through Yad Seledesboy, it still has to have ma'alav abiyas, it's got to bubble. The water has to actually bubble when the keli gets put in order to be able to pull the bliyas out. Therefore, that's chayr, is 100 degrees. That's what the heat that takes to pull it out. If it went in through fire, Mushal, somebody took a schnitzel, you fried schnitzel in breadcrumbs, and there's a minimal amount of oil. If there's a lot of oil, it could be called bishel, because it could be it's gone through a liquid. Let's look out, there was a stick-free pan, he hardly put a drop, mamash, a little drop of oil. So that frying pan went in, the chumetz went in direct. The only way to get out the chumetz would be with liben chumer. Not to be mistaken, there's two types of kashering with fire. One is called liben chumer, one is called liben kal. Liben chumer means it's got to be so hot that the sparks of fire coming, spritzing out of this keli which I've heated up. And liben kal is that it's hot enough that if I put a straw on the surface, or machlek has got to be on the surface or underneath, behind the surface of which I'm kashering, it would get burnt. So obviously a very big difference in temperature between the two. If something went in without water, it has to have liben chumer. So therefore, if I had a tray for something, let's say it was a tray for a piece of schnitzel, somebody by mistake had a mix-up and he fried a tray for a piece of schnitzel, he wants to kasher it, he would have to heat up his frying pan to such a degree that sparks would come out of it. Practically, it's impossible, because a frying pan which you heat at that degree will get ruined. So therefore, halucha lemas, the psak is you can't do liben chumer on a frying pan. But that's what you would have to do in order to be able to take out the bliyas. There is liben kal, let's go explain what liben kal is. When do you need to use liben kal? Liben kal does the same thing as hagula, as using water. Therefore, something which be'etzim you could cash it through water, if you wanted to, you can do liben kal to it. You could heat it up to such a degree that a straw would burn, and that will do the same pe'ila as taking out the bliyas. It has one ma'ala over using water, as if there's any mamushas, in order to do agula, in order to put a pot and kasher it through putting it into boiling water, it's got to be spotless clean. It's got to be completely, completely clean. It's not a din chatzitza. It's got to be even cleaner than somebody goes to tovel a new keli. When you go on tovel a new keli, you've got to make sure there's no substance on it, because it's a chatzitza. Something which is there, which bothers you, is going to be a ma'akev, it's going to be a chotzitz from the water. If it's something which is small, which doesn't bother you, then if it's something which won't bother not just you, but won't bother anybody, then apiv ikadin, it's not ma'akiv. When it comes to agula, it's got nothing to do with one's personal preferences. So metzias has the water koyach to pull out the bleas from inside his keli. If the bleas went in when this piece of schmitz, this piece of lichlich was not on the keli, it's not going to be able to come through this piece of lichlich on the way out. It's going to get stuck on the way out. That if you've got to scrub it spotlessly clean. Sometimes you can't clean something properly. You have different types of kelim. And the lushna moshle and shechanurich is, if you have a keli, their kelim and the mulegetzaten weren't done so factory manufactured like ours. And they had very often crevices and cracks inside them, especially where they joined up different parts and different chalukim. And such a type of a keli, you can't go and do hagul on it, because it's impossible to clean it thoroughly. The eitzah is to do libn kal. Because when you heat it up with the fire to the shear of a cash, a straw will get burnt, has a koyach to pull out the bleas, and it has another mala, it'll burn any mamushas which are left on the surface. So therefore any mamushas which are left hidden behind in these cracks will get burnt, b'shas you do libn kal. Therefore libn kal has a mala. Let's get back to what we just said. When we do normal agula, it's got to be spotless clean. On a practical level, very practical level, most kelim, you look at it, you have a glass, not just a good mushel, but you have any type of a pot or forks or knives or cutlery, it's normally a one-piece of metal. You don't have a problem, you can see clearly it's clean, you can clean it. When it comes to pots and pans, they have handles on and they have lids on. And most modern pots and pans have the handles and the lids are connected with a screw. And you'd be surprised how much dirt there is underneath. Maybe it's not advisable to open it during the year, because you want to do it. You'll have a tava to do that every time you wash your pots up, you want to do it. But the mass is, when you open up the screw, you'll see how much lichlich, how much dirt there is underneath the connection of the handle and the outside handles. When it comes to doing hagula, if the chumetz went in through that side of the pot where it's connected, it has to be clean on that spot. Just to clarify again, if the chumetz went in from the inside, then only the inside has to be clean. If it went in from the outside also, then also the outside has to be clean. Let's say a ladle. So a ladle went into a soup, so the ladle v'shtaiter is getting wet from the inside of the ladle and from the external side of the ladle. Then you'd have to make sure the ladle is clean from both sides. A pot normally is not getting dirty from the inside, from the outside, only from the inside. But it's not a rule, especially when you come to kasher for Pesach, because if you ever cooked lakshin and you leave the lid on, and after a few seconds, oops, and the whole thing spilled all over, and so it's gone over to the chumetz, mamish chumetz, has gone on the outside, it's run down by the side of the handles. Therefore, before you go to kasher a pot, you'd have to unscrew the handles, clean it, and the same thing with the lid, unscrew the lid and clean it. So by tefillah kelim, you don't need to, because it's one keli, as long as one keli. Right, but here kasha is a metzias. If it's dirty, it won't pull out the bleas. If it doesn't pull out the bleas, it's going to stay chashrum tray.
Once you clean, you can put the handle back on.
Yeah. Once it's clean, you put the handle back on. The main thing is that the blea has got to be able, if the blea went in when it was mushal, you've got a keli which has a patch on it. Something used to patch or used to screw on and weld patches onto a keli to fix them. Is with the, if the chumetz went in before the patch was welded on and then they welded on the patch, you can't kasher that keli anymore through agula, because it won't be able to come out again, because it's had another thing put onto it after the chumetz, after the blias went in. If originally went in only through this extra piece, then pashas, then some achloikas or pashas, it does come out that way. But here the dirt has come from, it's mamushas mamush. But it's also negaya is, I'm sure nobody caches a challah knife for Pesach. But if you look at a challah knife, especially ones that have a silver handle put on it, it's pushed pieces together and you can't clean the inside. It's impossible to clean the inside. Kamat. Unless you unscrew it and you don't know what. So these types of kalim which a person wants, you have to be careful. Small negaya is the bechers. Those are probably the things that most people, if they cache or caching bechers, is generally a becher is much easier, because why should you need to kasher a becher when you use it for chumetz?
No heat anyway.
There's no heat. Even if you use it, even if you had it on your dining room table with your chalas, there's going to be no heat involved. Wine isn't sharp enough. Wine's not called a duvah charif, but bronfen, if somebody puts their vodka or their whiskey into their becher, and a duvah charif, it sits there, it depends how it's a machlokes, whether it'll go in after 18 minutes or it takes 24 hours to go in. A kvisha of a duvah charif, with a, in a keli is machlokes if it goes in quicker or not. And also, again, that would be an issue from the inside of the becher, not on the external side of the becher. On the inside of the becher, normally you can see, you can scrub it nice and clean. The problem with the becher is the outside of the becher. There's two problems. One, you've got bechers which have a lip at the top, which is like such a lip, which you can never be guaranteed. It's impossible to know that you've cleaned the becher properly. And a hand gehet from one of my... Grosser Reuven Eretz Yisrael Kikro, as Rav Landa doesn't let the kasha any becher which has taka as a lip for Pesach. And the other problem, the outside of a becher is most silver has a design on it, and the design has like a black edge which brings out the niceness of the silver. Even if you buy a brand new piece of silver, it normally has some black etching onto it. You can't get it off. You can't scrub it and it does come off. And with the time, it only gets more the black because the dirt cups into it and it gets more of an effect, this blackness. Do you have to get it off? Do you not have to get it off? So what is the chashash that chumis is going to come from the outside? The main chashash is that you left it in the sink. It's been lying in the sink for 24 hours with some chumis together. It is a chimer. So me'ikadin, you don't have to take off the schwarzkeit, the blackness from the outside. If somebody turns around and tells no, and he's makpid to take it off, he has not pshat zavil de chimer. There is a tzad chimer also, especially when it comes to Pesach, to be makpid to try and get everything off. Even if you don't get everything off, chotch get it back to its original state how it was when it was bought. Because again, if it went in to the as it was when it was bought, then it'll come out again, as long as it wasn't more now than it was when the blias went in. It could be, yeah, but I don't know how advisable what be left of your becher by the time you finished. So it depends. A pan is from, because a blow lamp is very rare when you do a libn chumah with a blow lamp. Because as soon as you put it on, you'll have sparks flying off it, but it's not from the heat of the pan. Push it because you're blowing a fire on it. You just go over like this, like they go with the wash over the blow lamp everywhere. It doesn't do libn chumah. The maximum it'll do is libn kal. So therefore, if you do libn chumah on something, most of our Heimish appliances end up ruining it. Because they're not manufactured to withstand such a degree of heat. In the matzah oven, sometimes they want to kasher the stuff, they'll put it inside. You'll see it gets red hot. So what do you do, Agula? You put it into a thing which is malav abiyus, into bubbling water, and afterwards you take it out and you put it into cold water. The cold water is push it to make sure that the bliyas which were inside won't go back in. But in order, we have taka problem, because any keli which has inside blias, what's the hagula doing? All it's doing is pulling out the blias. If it pulls out the blias, it's very nice. What's stopping the same blias going straight back in again? Therefore, there's two tanuim of kashering. One of them has got to be ein ben yoimoy. If it's more than 24 hours since the blias went out, it went into the keli, it'll become pugim. It doesn't bother me if it goes back in again. Or the keli which I used to kashering has 60 times the amount of the keli. So even if as soon as the blias comes out, it became butl. It doesn't bother me if it goes back in. Even though it's for Pesach, that will help because it's still before Pesach and it doesn't have a chimer yet being butl b'mashi. Okay, we just spoke about kelulim, just two, three things of practical of tables and worktops. If somebody uses his worktop, depends. If somebody has a Pesach kitchen, some people just don't have to use the chumetz at all. But even if you do have a Pesach kitchen, a lot of people still want to use all the surfaces to put stuff down on. They've got the whole kitchen and they want to use the surfaces. If somebody wants to use his worktop surface only for cold, all you have to do is cover it. If you want to use it for hot, like anybody who's going to kasher the chumetz in a kitchen, and even people who don't kasher the chumetz in a kitchen, who don't need, instead of a Pesach kitchen, still want to use sometimes put down hot food or hot pots, you have to do an iri. You have to do an iri means that you pour boiling hot water directly from a clearishon all over the counter and make sure it doesn't stop. It's got to be a continuous a feed from the kettle onto the worktop the whole time. A practical thing we've got to be careful about, the Shulchan Aruch says that the surface has got to be completely dry. Because if it's not dry, then if there's cold water there already, when this hot water hits the cold water, it's going to get cooled off before it catches the surface. So it's very easy before you start to make sure the surface is dry. But once you start pouring it, and you've got to refill the kettle or refill your kelirishon for the second time, you're going to end up with a wet surface. You've got to remember where you stopped, and that edge. And the same thing, whenever you catch the surfaces which go upwards, you always got to start at the bottom and work your way up. If you do a sink, you start at the top, you're not going to be able to catch it that way. You've got to start at the bottom and go upwards. A tabletop is the same thing. Lechatchila, you got to do zicher iri on it, because the table gets used for hot chumas the whole year. You want to pour hot water, direct iri, hot water over the table, and then to cover it. If it's a table surface, or if it's a worktop that gets ruined through pouring, a laminate worktop very often will get ruined, it's enough to cover it. A table is enough to cover once, and a worktop which is going to get used for hot chumas has to be covered twice. Go over time. Auf solche Sachen nicht schon wäre mit der Maschi Chumitz und alle Stadlis und auf solche Sachen. Schreuer.